Hello and welcome to another episode of Tech Enthusiast. I'm Neil.
I'm Simon.
And we're going to be talking about some of the tech news this week.
I was waiting for you to kick off then, Neil.
Yeah, okay.
So, then I think the first thing we're going to talk about is the new mobile phone on Kickstarter, the new Android.
The Ubik or Ubik, however it's pronounced.
Maybe in the video they give the correct pronunciation.
Possibly. I just looked at the pretty pictures.
And the spec, bezel-free,
yep.
Quite high spec. What is the spec?
Well, they're saying it's basically stock Android, which is nice. You don't want any of that bloatware. It's a true octa-core 64-bit 2.2 gigahertz processor.
Octa-core?
Octa-core, yeah.
What's the battery? Is the battery going to last 10 minutes?
Well, they're saying 8 hours of talk time. It's a 3100 milliamp hour battery,
that 3 gig of RAM,
16 gig internal storage, but there is a micro SD card slot so you can expand up to 64 gig. It's looking nice. 5.5 inch display and a 20 megapixel rear camera.
So let's get to the interesting bit, the price.
$345.
Now, they've still got the early bird for $300.
Really?
Yeah, so you can still get in for $300 to get a really high-spec Android phone.
Yeah, for pretty much nothing.
The only problem is the Kickstarter problem.
the old Kickstarter problem.
Will it actually come out in September when it's due to be released? Because $300 for a phone, if it came out in September with that spec, is phenomenal.
Definitely.
If the phone comes out 18 months from now...
Not so good.
No.
Yeah.
I'm all of a sudden paying we could say in premium price, I suppose it's still far away from flagship, but I'm paying $300 for a phone that's already outdated.
Yeah.
Before it's in my hand.
And I think, you know, it's a lesson learned from previous Kickstarters, isn't it? But, I mean, it's all very well and good. It looks like they're going to make the money. I don't think there's going to be any problem with the money.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to get funded. And they're saying this is sort of step one of the company, because they're talking about being a true open source company, which, you know, you've got to apparently be the definition of what that is from the CEO.
Right.
And they are going to allow people to vote on every element of the next phone.
All right.
So if they want the phone to have a higher quality screen, or what people really want is a bigger battery,
yeah,
people are going to be allowed to vote, and that's the phone they're going to make.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
It is.
Because if everyone pushes for a bigger battery, imagine a phone that comes as stock with like a 3,500 or 4,000 mAh battery.
I have said for years, stop making the damn phones thinner and just give me a bigger battery.
Yeah, I'd accept a couple of mils more on the iPhone 6.
Yeah.
If the battery, because for me, with VoiceOver turned on, lucky to get beyond 2-3 o'clock.
Yeah, I bet.
And then the solutions you're using then to solve the problem, which shouldn't actually exist, is now I've got like a 10-centimeter cable that can't around with me at all times in my wallet. But then the other day I was looking at getting a mobile phone charger that's the size of a credit card, which then has a little cable that pops out that you can plug straight into your phone.
All right.
But it's micro USB.
Yeah.
So then I need to buy the official Apple micro USB to Lightning.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm spending around £30 extra just for my battery to go beyond
lunchtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which seems ridiculous, but I'm thinking, oh yeah, it's a great solution. I'm thinking, why am I trying to solve this problem that shouldn't even exist anyway? So a bigger battery, definitely. Maybe we should buy into this phone, Neil.
Maybe.
Click on that poll to vote for bigger battery. But by the time it gets released, everyone else will be doing bigger batteries on the phone. And that's, I've got burnt more times than I care to remember now on the delays. The one that's real upset me, the minute I mentioned it last week, was the Lima. I never know how to pronounce one of the incoming names. Probably Lima. Well, whatever VoiceOver chooses to say is how I pronounce it, I think. It depends what mood it's in to how that word gets pronounced. Yeah. But I backed that 2 years ago, and 2 years ago, enticing device.
Yep.
A device I wanted to own. It solved a problem I had.
Yep.
It allowed me to access my files, or advertise me to allow me to access my files anywhere. And it was a private cloud, so I didn't have to put it on Dropbox. Back then, Dropbox was quite expensive. Fast forward 2 years, I ended up...
changed.
Well, The reason I actually went to Dropbox is the Lime arrived, unboxed it, plugged it in, could not use it. The app was not accessible.
Yeah.
Couldn't highlight any element. So someone else had to set it up for me, by which time I got bored halfway through the process and the experience was ruined.
Yeah.
I no longer wanted to use it. So it got turned off. I pulled out a Raspberry Pi, bought Dropbox Pro, was then presented with the SSD smaller than my Dropbox Pro account. So then I basically figured out how part of my Dropbox could be stored on the Raspberry Pi. So for £16 and an external hard drive I'd lying about, I've pretty much created what the Lima device is right now.
Yeah.
If they actually do release a software update in September, then it will do what it was originally intended to do, where it takes over the entire file system. But for now, you can create that device for £16.
And what's the point in shipping a device that doesn't do anything that it really needs to do and then pushing out a software update months down the line?
I think they were just so worried that it had been heavily delayed, and if they didn't get it out of the door, the backlash would be too severe. I think the backlash was already building, and I'm pretty sure I ended up paying more now for backing the device than it's actually going to retail at.
Right.
Because the retail price 2 years ago made sense, but the retail price now in today's sort of environment no yeah. longer makes sense. So I think they've dropped the retail price down
to try and entice people into buying it.
So I've paid more for being an original backer.
That's pretty gross.
Which kind of destroys one of the concepts of Kickstarter.
Yeah.
You could argue that, yeah, I helped a company get off the ground, which is nice, but what did I get in return? A device that doesn't do as intended, is nowhere near accessible, and that, to be honest, I put back in the box and pulled out a piece of technology that's a couple of years old that costs £16.
Yeah.
Well, £16 now, I think it cost me 30 back then. But I am going to write a little how-to of how I create that device, because it took me 6 how-tos.
Yeah.
Because all of them had an error somewhere within the how-to. So then I had to jump to the next how-to. And to be honest, no one had actually done a single how-to on how to solve that one problem.
Right.
So that to piece together lots of how-to. So I'm going to write a how-to on how you can use a Raspberry Pi to store part of your Dropbox on if your internal hard drive is too small. I know.
Yeah.
I'm sure lots of people have that problem.
It makes you wonder where they're going to go as a company now, though.
I think it can be a success still if they get this file system thing working. Because the way it works, it takes over your entire file system.
Right.
So no matter where you store a file, it appears on the personal cloud. So you'll never forget to put a file in your Dropbox folder
yeah.
or your OneDrive folder or whatever, because everything is put into the cloud. So that idea is actually quite powerful.
Definitely.
And if they get it off the ground, great. But they're dealing with, well, originally it was supposed to be 3 operating systems, but unsurprisingly, they've dropped Linux.
Right.
So now it's all in Windows and OS X. So I really feel bad for the Linux backers.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not even going to get it now. So now we're left with OS X and Windows. And they're billing a September window for this update. So by that time, El Capitan, it's just going to be coming out.
Yeah.
Windows and Windows 10 will be out.
Yeah.
So then they're probably not going to release in September because they're not going to have enough time to test to make sure it works with 10 and El Capitan.
Although both have got public betas, so they could already be testing it.
Well, it's took them 2 years to get...
Well, yeah, sorry, I'm presuming they're going to pull the finger out.
I'm sure... No, I think it's... I would say March next year until that goes anywhere.
That's gross.
And I had the same pain with Pebble.
Oh, don't.
I don't know, you're loving your Pebble right now, are you, Neil?
Wait, you mean that hunk of metal that's sat on my nightstand? Yeah, that's it's a great piece of technology. I'm loving it.
But yeah, they've got great customer support. I found they had great customer support when I used to talk to them.
Yes. No, I love the device. I think it's great. Just the silly little things like being able to... I'd hook my phone up to my car stereo with a Bluetooth receiver and just being able to press a button on my watch to start my podcast playing is just fantastic. But yeah, when the Bluetooth connection completely fails and it's clearly the Pebble that is the issue, and then you try to contact Pebble to see what you can do about that, and 2 weeks later they still haven't got back to you, that's a problem.
Yeah, I think we all expect this immediate response now.
Yeah.
Because this past week, I've got in touch with tech support more than I have in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I got in touch with Misfit tech support, supposedly 24-hour response time. It was late on a Friday night. They eventually got back to me the Monday. I forgive them for the weekend.
Yeah.
I've had to deal with Apple support twice in the past week. They were both very quick.
Yeah.
And Dropbox support was probably the quickest.
Yeah.
And yeah, you do expect a company nowadays, especially a tech-based company.
Definitely. I mean, Xbox support, their Twitter account is insane. And they were actually, I don't know if they still are, but at one point they were in the Guinness Book of Records for being the fastest responders.
Really?
Yeah. They're absolutely insane. They've got teams all over the world as well. So whatever time zone you're in, if you tweet them, they get back to you in minutes.
Yeah, you do it on Twitter, especially nowadays. Yeah. I expect, because that me and you are starting a little fitness regime next week.
Yeah,
and by email I was getting nowhere because we had a problem, didn't we?
Yes.
I tweeted them. It took 2 minutes.
Yeah.
To get a response and the problem was solved, and we have this thing now where if we complain on Twitter, we expect instantaneous results,
which is upsetting because currently I've been complaining on Twitter about Pebble to Pebble, and I'm getting nothing back. And all the while, you look on Pebble's Twitter timeline, and all they're doing is retweeting praise about how good their customer service is. And I'm sat here just wanting to throw the Pebble at somebody's face because it doesn't work, and nobody's listening to me.
Well, if you remember when it wasn't even a horrid complaint to Pebble.
You were a scumbag, Simon, face it.
I was not. I just questioned one or two little things, and then Pebble got all their followers to send me verbal abuse.
Yeah.
And I had to block a substantial amount of users, and then my followers then got involved and then started abusing everyone back.
It's like playground tactics.
Isn't it? Well, come on, there's some right Twitter battles going on at the minute. Like, yeah. Swift and Minaj and Drake and Minaj's
I'm
boyfriend.
No longer in the musical zeitgeist. I don't know who these people are.
Like, well, every show I need to mention Taylor Swift, otherwise that needs to be a feature.
Yeah.
What's Swifty doing this week? In fact, I'll tell you what Swift is doing this week.
It was the Easter egg until you completely ruined it by telling everybody it was the Easter egg.
Sorry, guy. But she's also in the news this week for the 1989 merchandise, releasing it in China. But you're not really supposed to mention 1989 in China.
Right.
Tiananmen Square.
Oh.
So, yeah. That's our Taylor Swift update for this week.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, definitely. Just always have something. So yeah, I've never liked Pebble's support. And it was a real tough thing where you like the product.
Yeah.
But then you don't like the support, and it starts to taint the product.
And especially with technology companies, like you say, ideally, everything works perfectly and you never need to contact them. But when things do go awry, you need to speak to somebody, and it's frustrating. And we all have this kind of, like you say, instantaneous, it doesn't work, it needs to work.
This is an interesting point, though, perhaps about Kickstarter as well. That mobile phone, is that company going to exist in a year's time? To mention on any kind of support, you know, what's going on with this? Because I'm having that problem with that Bradley watch.
Yeah.
That was Kickstarted, and they just haven't got the funds to create a good support network to repair faults. And that, you know, we back these products and we assume just because they get 5 million in funding, they're a big company, but
it's still a gamble, isn't it?
Well, it's no secret, I don't think, that Pebble is struggling financially.
No.
I mean, they're having to go to banks for money rather than VCs. And in Silicon Valley, you'd have thought they'd be able to get hold of money.
Yeah.
And when they can't even get hold of money, no wonder they have to go on a positive PR campaign on Twitter, because they need sales.
Yeah, and the Times not getting particularly good reviews. People are just like, why have they put a colour screen at the book? You know, the previous screen worked really, really well, and this is just difficult to see.
Again, different landscape. Now you're going up against the colour screens of Android Wear.
Definitely.
And the Apple Watch.
It's definitely an issue.
In fact, that just reminded me of something interesting. Did you see the screen comparisons of the Apple Sport versus Apple Watch and what was the high-end one called? You know, like all the gold ones and stuff. Because it uses a sapphire crystal display, actually lower quality on the high-end watches than the low-end watch.
That's hilarious.
Just because of how light is reflected on crystal sapphire.
Brilliant.
So if you want a better-looking screen with environmental lighting, so when you're outside or when you've got lights on at the house, you're better off having the sports edition.
Did they not check that beforehand? You would think so, especially a company that prides itself on its retina display.
They will have tested that, but you do need that hardened screen for a high-end watch.
Yeah.
People demand it. You know, if you're going to buy like an Omega or a Rolex or a Breitling, you want those materials. So I think they had to because of that. And obviously they're the first people to perhaps put some kind of screen, but then it makes you think, hang on a minute, is that why they didn't use it for the iPhone?
Maybe.
Did they discover that, it doesn't look that great on this big screen with a crystal sapphire?
Yeah, that is a real problem.
It could have been something related to that, or it could have been this GT Tech Advanced company not working right, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, the original Pebble screen was good. White on black.
It works really, really well. And like the viewing angles and just the, you could see it in any light whatsoever. I really, really liked
it. If anything, it got better in bright light.
Yeah.
Because of how it works.
Yeah.
It needed bright light to reflect. Because when I originally got the watch, I could still just see it in direct sunlight.
Yeah.
Whereas I can't see it at all now. And that was one of the best features for me. Because I was using, at that time, a talking watch, which are terrible. And the times I actually wanted to use a talking watch was out in the street in bright light.
Right.
But then you can't hear it because of the road noise.
Yeah.
So then I went to the Pebble, because I could actually see the Pebble now, but now I'm back to that problem with the Apple Watch and not being able to hear it on the street.
Yeah.
Although I did take a call for today, when you called me today.
So Dick Tracy.
I felt 21st century when I took a call today when you rang. Oh, in fact, I did my first Apple Pay payment by my watch.
Oh, cool. Yeah. How did that go?
It was in McDonald's.
Beautiful.
I didn't have a W at hand.
After just mentioning the fitness regime, nice one.
I know. Well, this week you got to chill out, haven't you?
Yeah.
And it was just the closest place that took Apple Pay to where I currently was. I was like, right, I really want to go and try Apple Pay. Right. So I'm going to McDonald's. And yeah, it was easy. Just you double press the button and then put it near the reader, done.
How much do you reckon companies like McDonald's have gone, we've got to have this because people are just going to want to come and use it and we're everywhere. So we're going to get a little bump in sales just from people going,
McDonald's have been doing contactless for a while.
They have,
It's the same, they haven't upgraded the machines.
No.
It's the same machine.
The exact same machine.
So same as Starbucks, same machine.
Yeah.
You can go in and pay.
I tell you, something that I always notice, I haven't got a contactless card, but their card readers are super quick. Like, you type in your PIN number and it's literally like, yep, remove your card now.
Yeah, it's almost like it's pre-authorised, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And some other places, you know, your card's in the reader and you type your PIN number and you're waiting seconds before anything comes up on screen to take it out. So, yeah, the McDonald's ones I've always thought are just super, super quick.
Contactless definitely does make transactions quicker.
Yeah.
It really does. It helps. So, especially in fast food. So McDonald's, Starbucks, just ping, 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 ping.
Yeah, when you're buying low figures.
Yeah, they're increasing it to £30 in the UK.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
In September, I think. Because the majority of my purchases are around or below that. Because if I buy anything more expensive, it's generally on Amazon.
Yeah.
Which I love, One Touch ID. In fact, my favourite thing with Touch ID for Amazon is I like to buy something on the runway when I'm on a plane.
Right.
Because I just think, this is just the ultimate use of technology. I'm on a plane that flies in the air and I'm going to buy something while I'm sat on a plane that's going to get delivered to my house while I'm away.
Yeah.
So I come back to something. God, it sounds like all I do is fly and do crazy. Yeah.
Well, your middle name is Baller.
I'll let you know, I haven't been on a plane since May.
Wow.
I know.
You're slipping.
I'm going to have
a... I don't know, man.
No, and I don't think I'm not scheduled to go, oh, I nearly said something, I think I'm going to NDA for that, so... Can't talk about that just yet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to Berlin September.
Is that for the marathon?
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing it for Whiskers Charity with Neil.
Cool.
So I don't think I'm not fit enough. For, I'm not marathon ready. No. I'll finish.
Yeah.
But with our new fitness regime next week, I'm sure I'll get up to decent pace and stuff again. So
hopefully.
And yeah, I really want to pick up a nice fitness tracker.
Right.
For, because I actually gave my Fitbit Charge HR to my sister because she wanted to start tracking things. And I dug out a Misfit Shine to give it to my mum.
Right.
So now I still have the Apple Watch, but the thing I really want to track is my sleep.
Yeah.
So I can't decide whether to pick up a Fitbit again or a Misfit because the Fitbit is so accessible versus the Misfit. But I don't need a screen or anything.
No.
Which then I think, well, I'm wasting my money buying the Fitbit when if all I want to do is track sleep.
Yeah.
The Misfit is so cheap.
What's the app like, though, for you?
I was testing it the other day, and it was hit and miss. Sometimes it was working really well, and sometimes it wasn't registering my clicks. So I'm not too sure, but I think for the price point, £30 for the flash at the minute, I'm probably willing to take a punt, test it, and then just complain on Twitter to Misfit.
Well, if it's sleep tracking, I found the Misfit Shine sleep tracking to be ridiculously accurate.
Yeah, my mum has been finding it. It's the first time my mum has ever used any technology like this.
Yeah.
And she's obsessed with looking at stats on her phone.
Really?
Well, perhaps not obsessed, but she likes checking it, and she's become really intrigued by this sleep tracker now, because she only discovered that the other day. When I said, oh, have you not been wearing it to bed to check your sleep? No, I didn't know you did that. I was like, yeah. So now she's tracking her sleep. And it's really interesting, because my sister and my mum are now both purposefully walking more to get more steps. So I think it definitely shows these devices do work.
Yeah.
They promote people to be healthier. And it's literally down to the piece of technology for my mum and sister, I think. Perhaps if they hadn't started tracking, they wouldn't have been walking so much.
Yeah, which the gamification of fitness, isn't it?
Yeah, people like to see that number go higher and higher.
Everyone loves a bar graph.
And Misfit does points. Now, my mum doesn't even yet understand what the points mean. She hasn't bothered reading up on it or anything. But obviously she knows that she's got to get to that target.
Yeah, and she has to keep moving to get to the target.
Trying to get to the target. Pure gamification.
Definitely.
Perhaps these values don't equate to directly to calories burned, but it's a target that people aim for.
Yeah, and if people are more active, then, you know, it's going to have a positive effect. It's like a real-life RPG. Level up.
Oh, yeah. If only it was so easy to level up in real life compared to online gaming, it would all be.
Yeah, definitely.
Masters in everything we did. Now, I think I am going to pick up definitely the Flash, so then I can mess around with the Misfit Link app and see what I can do with that Bluetooth button, because that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Although, you know what, that reminds me of something else again. Are these companies going to exist in the future? Because we're getting to see a lot of these sort of smart bulbs and smart power outlets and things like that. And when I need to replace those bulbs, are the companies going to exist in a year's time?
Yeah.
Because bulbs burn out. Bulbs fail.
Totally.
So if I've bought into a system and I've bought 20 bulbs in my house, all of a sudden four go and the company doesn't exist.
I think if you're buying specific smart bulbs, then obviously the big one at the minute is Philips Hue. And obviously they've been around for donkeys years.
I think I'd definitely go Philips, because Philips, you imagine, is still going to exist in 5-10 years time. But the smaller companies
expensive
that then release it cheaper.
Yeah.
Are they going to exist? Are you going to buy into a system that may...
But then wouldn't you work into, you can buy hubs, can't you, like smart hubs that work on existing standards for that kind of technology. So while those companies might not exist, the standards still will, so it wouldn't really matter.
Yeah, but then I suppose if it's going through a hub, yes, because it could end up with different apps for different parts of your house, couldn't you, if you weren't using a hub?
Yeah.
But then you've got to buy into the hub system, and who makes the hubs? Philips do a hub?
I don't know if Philips do a hub.
Because then are we going to trust the company who's making the hub?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's so tough.
Yeah.
It's great that there's so many small companies out there doing really interesting things, but I think we're getting old. We're starting to worry about warranties and support. I never used to ring support.
No.
Well, the only reason I'm ringing support at the minute, to be honest, is to get my money back for things that I'm buying and going,
which is fair enough.
It's not accessible. I want my money back.
Yeah.
Thank you, right of withdraw. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I think stuff like that, though, kind of home automation stuff, is only going to get bigger.
Because I suppose when we first got the Fitbits, can you remember when we had to import them from America?
Yes.
And we got the clips.
Yeah.
Did we import multiples? I can't remember. Did we import them in, so we both got it at the same time? How did we do it?
I don't recall now. It was a while back.
Oh, I can't even remember how I got hold of them.
No.
I think, did we get them the same time, or did you get yours first?
I honestly can't remember. It was a long time
ago. Were we buying them off eBay and getting them to ship them over? I think that's how we did it.
Might have been.
We were buying them on eBay.com from random people and getting them to ship to us.
Yeah.
And yeah, back then, because you had to, you know, I had a little stand that plugged into your computer, so it spoke to your computer to then send the data.
God, that was which was a problem for me, because I didn't have an always-on computer. I had a laptop, so I was literally having to, every couple of days, like, make sure that I was plugging in the little...
Now, doesn't that seem crazy now
that
you were getting the data sort of backdated rather than seeing it real time?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you used to sync it every 4 days. Go, what steps did I do over the past 4 days?
Bizarre.
Yeah, and even back then, you think, was Fitbit going to be around? Well, Fitbit seems to be definitely on top of the fitness band
there,
tracking. Well, a billion-dollar company now.
Yeah, I mean,
a billion in sales.
Every other... I think somebody was saying a couple of years back at, like, one of the big conferences, that, like, just every company that a couple of years back was making Blu-ray players was now making fitness trackers. And it's just like, you know, whatever the new big thing is, they just jumped on it.
Yeah, Mobile World Congress this year, everyone had a fitness tracker.
Yeah.
That's probably the conference you're talking about.
Yeah, probably.
So everyone had one.
Yeah.
Because I'm really interested in that Move Now, MWOV.
Oh, yeah, I've seen something.
Really good
that.
Price point. But is it still going to be around? It's interesting. I almost feel like that's a company that's there for acquisition.
Yeah.
I think that's perhaps their main goal. Creating this really interesting technology, thinking, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's going to buy us, but who's going to buy them? Apple, Microsoft, Google, maybe?
Because,
interesting. In fact, I almost saw the headline just before we started recording.
Right.
There's a company now doing a fitness tracker. Oh, I don't know if they're making the fitness tracker, but they use your fitness tracker data, and then they recommend the supplements and stuff you should be using.
Oh, wow.
To go with your activity, which is an interesting use of the data, because often we collect all this data.
Yeah.
And then what do we do with it? Because I was testing that heart rate tracker for Wahoo. What's it called? I should know this. I've got a few of them out. Anyway, Wahoo's heart rate tracker.
Yeah.
And it tracked some incredible data.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what to do with it. It knew how long I was spending on each foot while I was running.
Wow.
Incredible, and how much forward and lateral movement I was doing while running.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, well, what do we need to change to become a better runner?
Yeah.
Am I spending too long with my foot on the floor or too long in the air? So great metrics, but how do I then turn that into something else? And I think Runkeeper was perhaps looking into that, but I don't know how far.
But I think that's why, for your general user, that's why a lot of that information is just like, let's not deep dive into that. Is steps, is calories.
Yeah.
And let's just leave it at that, maybe a couple of other bits.
I think Wahoo was definitely aimed more at the professional end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A bit like that Under Armour thing, I don't think you can even buy it. You know, the G-Force vest.
No.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, right. Do you know, have you ever heard of the Combine for NFL athletes?
Yes.
Right. They wear this Under Armour vest and it gives them crazy detail, like the G-Force acceleration on the spinning.
Wow.
And it, incredible data. And I think now they can even start to do, it can pick up the respiratory rate, oxygen saturation on muscles and everything.
I thought you said recipe rate. What? That is crazy.
That is good. Yeah, that is impressive. So that, I think that's only ever going to stay at the professional end.
Yeah.
And will it ever fill down? Because there is that company who makes a T-shirt that tracks all the data in the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Now, that was really interesting. And then it sent the data to, like, a device, which then plugged into your mobile phone. That was a cool startup. They were just starting to announce stuff, you know, just before we went to Boston, to New York, because who was it who knew the CEO? I think maybe it was Aaron or someone knew the CEO, and they were trying to get them involved in doing that adventure. We never got any traction with it. But it'd been cool to use that.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because what I was interested in, because it could do condition of your muscles, were my muscles going to deteriorate over the 11 days of running?
Yeah.
So it'd been a cool metric to have.
Definitely.
But in the end, the metrics we use were Misfit Shines.
Yeah.
And all the Runkeeper stats.
Yeah.
So yeah, we ended up just using what everyone's still using now. The real simple step information.
It's a weird, it just occurred to me then, that it's a weird parallel with kind of like the fashion industry, where you get like your catwalk models walking up and down wearing these ridiculous outfits that then Topshop go in and go, "Oh, that's a good idea. We'll kind of incorporate that into normal people clothing."
Yeah.
And then we'll
That is what happened with technology, though, isn't it?
Definitely.
You know, because historically, it used to come from the military.
Yeah.
And then eventually filter down to what we can use.
Non-stick frying pans.
Well, I can remember the contact lenses that I was wearing years and years ago were originally developed for snipers.
Really?
Yeah, because they used to do 3D mapping of the eyeball and then perfectly create a contact. Yeah, and perfectly create a contact lens. And they reckon that they could pick out dog hairs from the dog at the other side of the room.
Whoa.
Yeah. But by the time it was filtered down for us to purchase,
yeah,
it wasn't.
Some at that compromises level. Had to be made for price, I would assume.
Yeah, they were still very, very expensive at consumer grade, but when it's military, you can afford to perhaps drop a very high amount per pair.
Definitely.
But yeah, always been like that, hasn't it? And now perhaps we are seeing that, whereas the tech trickles down from this real high end professional. So, in fact, I can remember I went for dinner last year, and they had some of like the really. Still, like the real intestine and bodymetric wearables, and he was wearing it as a patch on his chest,
right?
And it was doing all his ECG, his breathing rate, skin temperature, and everything just as this little sticker,
yeah.
And the idea was to eventually, because I'm trying to think how lumpy it was, how thick's that, or something like that.
About a centimetre, maybe centimetre.
Probably, yeah, so probably centimetres, and probably about that big.
Yeah.
That's good for radio, isn't it?
About that big. Yeah.
So maybe a bit smaller than a matchbox.
Yeah.
And the idea was to then make it as thin as a normal plaster.
Right.
And it sent the information wirelessly, so if they know when you're in the hospital and you hook up to the ECG.
Yes.
You wore this patch, you got sent home, you wore it for a week.
So they could monitor.
So they could monitor, and they sent all the data to the hospital, and that was, they were testing it then.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool, and they were saying that eventually that would come down to a price point where if you're interested in it, for maybe $100, $150 a year, you can do medical grade health tracking.
Nice.
I'm not too sure going back to what would I do with the information.
Yeah.
Perhaps it would lower my life insurance or increase my life insurance, depending on what I was doing. it all fills down eventually. It's always interesting to see that.
Yeah. Tech. And it's, like you were saying, a lot of that information isn't useful to everybody. And it's figuring out what is and what people want from the device and from the system, in full stop, really.
Yeah, I think I enjoy the simple step, but when I'm in a training cycle, I do appreciate more quantitative measurements, and then how can I use that information to improve?
Yeah.
So I flick between the two, but I'd always wear something like a kind of a Misfit or a Fitbit and use the professional grade now and again.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So is there anything else you want to talk about before we finish up?
Yeah, well, a few interesting things in 10 news this week. Glass is back.
Google Glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting to see where it goes from here. It's looking more at the industrial end of what glass can do, which I think is a good place for glass to be.
Probably so, yeah.
I think it's tough to gain traction in the general population.
Yeah.
And I don't think glass in its current form will be seen on the streets every day.
You don't want to be a glass hole.
Well, no, even I felt embarrassed to wear it.
Yeah.
It was tough to wear on the street. You're like, oh. Because I remember I was wearing it on the Underground in London. And then I went to the Natural History Museum. And you just feel a bit weird.
Yeah.
And then I went into the picnic area and then felt so weird I had to take it off because I was surrounded by children.
Yeah.
And then if people knew what glass was, I was thinking, oh, people can be thinking I'm recording, I'll take a picture of the kids. So yeah, glass got taken off.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see what happens with like HoloLens because that's fairly similar.
Yeah. I think HoloLens has got a great opportunity in the living room.
Yeah.
To do really interesting entertainment things.
Definitely.
And perhaps that's it. There'll be different wearables for different environments and different use cases. Perhaps it won't be as generic as the mobile phone is, where it can be used in all scenarios. Perhaps we'll have different wearables.
Because I remember when glass first came out and people were saying, you know, you could be walking down the street and, you know, the glass picks up on the fact that there's a billboard, but you don't see what's actually on the billboard. You know, this is obviously revision.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't see what's actually on the billboard. You see whatever the advertisers who've paid Google money want you to see on that billboard and things like that, proper augmenting the reality around you.
Augmented reality would be interesting. For me, augmented reality would be very interesting. Like picking out people and giving to them through audio and stuff would be really interesting. But I don't think we're going to get there with glass.
No.
Which was a shame because I like glass.
Yeah. I mean, it was more of a heads-up display than anything else, but it's kind of working on the fringes.
Yeah. Give it 5-10 years, because we were mentioning earlier on we never envisaged going from mobile phones to the smartphone.
Yeah.
That seemed like a ridiculous leap. So who knows what the next leap from this black rectangle to whatever the next thing's going to be.
Speaking of which, the only thing I wanted to touch on before we finish is the OnePlus, really, and the OnePlus 2 announcement is imminent, and then we got a leak.
Yes.
We got some photos of the device, which looks, you know, it's a black rectangle.
High-spec black rectangle.
It's a high-spec black rectangle. The price is going to be something I'm curious about. It's different. In a few ways, it hasn't got the weird silver bezel around the edge.
Yeah, fingerprint scanner.
Physical button now, which obviously is where the fingerprint scanner is, and the camera positioning is different. It's further down the phone.
I think for UI and UX, one physical button can make a massive difference.
Yes.
It really can. So it'll be interesting to see how they integrate that within Android.
Yeah.
And what they do with it.
Well, there are Android devices that do have a physical button, but they still have
a flagship device that's got a physical button, is there?
I think the Galaxies did, didn't they, for a while.
Has it still got a physical button?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
I don't really follow that Samsung.
You know, it'll still have the back button, the menu button, as little haptic buttons anyway. So I don't think it's going to affect things too much. But yeah, it's interesting. Being that I own a OnePlus One as it is, I'm very curious. But the price is going to be the big thing.
Will it be able to compete with that
Ubiquiti.
That Kickstarter
phone, yeah.
the one other quick thing I wanted to mention before we probably do sign off is the new sort of accessibility consortium of all the massive tech firms have jumped on board.
Yeah.
Really interesting to see.
Definitely.
Be very interesting to see where that goes over the next 12 to 18 months and yeah, definitely something I'd love to get involved in, so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I think it, for a lot of people, it's not going to be something that they even think about, but when you start to think about how it can help people with visual impairments and things like that.
Yeah, there's lots of other sort of disabilities we can definitely help as well. A lot of touch-based disabilities are very interesting on Apple devices.
Yeah.
You don't really see that so much on other devices. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes, desktop, mobile, wearables. Can we try and make everything accessible in the future? And I think that's probably us for today, Neil.
Definitely.
No retractions this week.
No retractions. I think we're doing okay. Probably have some for next week. We've covered quite a lot of ground.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so that's us for another week. We'll probably be back next week. I'm Neil.
I'm Simon.
And that's been another Tech Enthusiast.